Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Spadaro. We welcome you to Eagles Live and the NovaCare Complex on this beautiful Thursday in South Philadelphia. Late night last night here as the Eagles and the NFL finding out the dates and times for the 2014 schedule. And we're going to take a look at it. And we want to hear from you today. What do you think of the schedule that was announced last night? The Eagles primetime players in this 2014 regular season. They've got four of them in prime time, and they've also got a total of six games at this point that are nationally televised. We take a look at the opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eagles playing at Lincoln Financial Field to open the 2014 season. Who will the quarterback be, Chad Henne, or will it be the Jaguars' first pick in this 2014 draft on May 8th? We'll find out. A team that enters its second year with Gus Bradley at the helm, some weapons, but certainly a rebuilding team. Good chance for the Eagles to get off on the right foot in the regular season, as long as the defense steps up and holds down the Jags. All right, then it's on to the road. The Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, a Monday night football game, the first of two for the Eagles. Now, what's interesting for Philadelphia, four primetime games, just one of them away from home, and the other three are at Lincoln Financial Field. But this game at the RCA Dome will be a tough one. The Colts, a playoff team last year, of course, suffering the second-round loss after that huge comeback win against the Kansas City Chiefs, then the next week losing to the New England Patriots. That guy right there, number 12, Andrew Luck, one of the very best young quarterbacks, one of the very best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So we'll talk about this schedule. We're not going to go through it game by game by game, but you've got the gist. DeSean Jackson comes into Philadelphia on September 21st. The Eagles ending the season in outstanding fashion, that Thanksgiving Day game against the Dallas Cowboys. And then it's on to the road. They do not get into an airplane after that Thanksgiving Day game. So the Eagles have a chance in the month of December to, go on the road, but stay close by to Philadelphia and finish strong. But I want to hear your reaction to it. I think the road schedule is very, very difficult. Obviously, Seattle highlights the schedule at Lincoln Financial Field among the non-division opponents. How do the Eagles get better from 10-6? I mean, the Seattle Seahawks, an outstanding football team. The Eagles will see them in December in Philadelphia. Should be a terrific game as the Seahawks look to defend their Super Bowl championship. Here are some of the schedule facts for you. In 2014, the Eagles are one of only eight teams to have multiple appearances on ESPN. On those Monday night football games, four primetime games, two on Sunday, two on Monday, three of them at Lincoln Financial Field. Additionally, the Eagles play a game against the Washington Redskins December 20th, a Saturday. That's on the NFL Network. And, this is just a schedule that really, really works for Philadelphia. Eagles go to Dallas for that Thanksgiving Day game. It's a big one. I keep remembering back to the 1980s when the Eagles played in Dallas and absolutely smoked Troy Aikman and the Cowboys with a defensive blitz. They sacked Aikman nine times in a shutout win. It's not going to be that easy this time around. Eagles 4-1 all time on Thanksgiving. And then the Eagles finished the 2014 season with three consecutive games within the division against the Cowboys. Weird. We don't see the Cowboys until Thanksgiving, and then we see them two of the next 3 weeks. Very strange. And then it's the Redskins, and then the Eagles finish it up against the Giants. The Giants, their fourth consecutive season, ending the regular season at home. And then we'll see how RG3 and the Redskins, how they look. We'll see them early in the season and then late in the season. NFL loves these matchups late in the year within the division. We want your phone calls. We want to hear from you. So 215-339-6709. Give us a call. We'll talk about it also a little later on. We're going to go behind enemy lines and talk about Seattle, the Super Bowl champs. Are they a better football team now than they were last year? Lots to get to, including quarterback G.J. Kinney, who stops by the studio to check in with us. And the fourth quarterback here, is there any way that he makes this roster? Is there room for G.J. Kinney? A story of a young man trying to make it in the league. We always hear about all the stars and all the players, but what about the kids who are just a little ways off? G.J. working very hard to make it in 2014 with the Eagles. We'll hear from him, and we'll hear from you. When we return, Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. Come back soon.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Well, we've got the Men's Academy this weekend. There are scattered tickets available for Saturday and Sunday. We've got some great keynote speakers. John Runyon, former Eagles offensive tackle on Saturday, former Eagles cornerback Troy Vincent on Sunday. Get your tickets now right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The Eagles Academy for men at the NovaCare Complex, Saturday and Sunday. You will not want to miss it. Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's 215-339-6709, the number. We take a look at the second half of the Eagles' schedule. They have their bye week early enough in the season. I think it's a good mix. It's 10 games, including preseason, before the bye week, 10 games after the bye week. You see the look at the schedule and the primetime flavor, the national flavor. Last year, the league not sold on Chip Kelly, at least going into the season. Just the opener against the Redskins scheduled, and then the Andy Reid visit and the Kansas City Chiefs on NFL Network. But obviously, the Eagles exceeding many expectations out there last year. Eagles will see the likes of Cam Newton and Jay Cutler and some very powerful offenses in 2014. Got to get that defense just a bit better. We'll see what the Eagles do in the draft. They've done quite a bit here in free agency with Malcolm Jenkins and Nolan Carroll and all of the moves the team has made to improve all three phases of this football team. Let's get to some phone calls. Get your reaction to the 2014 draft. We start in New York with the Zompster, Zompy Zompola. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Those birds, baby. Long time, Dave.
I cannot hear Zompola.
Huh?
So we will hear from him in just a moment. Stay on the line here. Before we do that, let's go to enemy lines, behind enemy lines, Bo Wolf and Claire Farnsworth talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Can they reach the level they reached last year? A punishing defense, a solid offense led by the ground game, Marshawn Lynch, and second-year quarterback Russell Wilson. What do the Seahawks do for an encore? Let's find out behind enemy lines.
Well, the Eagles will welcome in the defending Super Bowl champions to Lincoln Financial Field this season, and so we catch up on the busy offseason for the defending champs.
Mark, talk to me.
Claire Farnsworth from Seahawks.com. Claire, first of all, how is your ring feeling?
I actually got fitted for it this week, so we're not going to get them for a while. But the amazing part is, after all these years, there are rings to be passed out, and I guess I'm going to get one.
We are certainly very jealous. Hopefully, we will join you one day soon in the future. But as for the Seahawks offseason, I guess it's been mostly about saying goodbye to some of the players who contributed to that Super Bowl championship. A lot of players gone. We're talking about Red Bryant, Brandon Browner, Chris Clemens, Walter Thurman, Golden Tate, among them. Is there anybody who you think leaves the biggest void behind them?
Yeah, I think and initially their top priority here was retaining their own guys. That's kind of been is the way they've done business here for quite a few years, especially since Pete Carroll and John Snyder came in 2010. But yeah, you're right. Their two starting ends are now playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They released Red Bryant and Chris Clemens, and they were snapped up almost immediately. There's been kind of a joke here that anytime the Seahawks release a player, that he'll immediately go to Jacksonville because that's where Gus Bradley's the coach, and he was the defensive coordinator here. So that's probably going to be the biggest holes to fill. And then also on the offensive line, they lost their right tackle Bruno Giacomini and Paul McQuiston, who had been a very versatile player and starter at multiple positions for them. So both lines kind of have holes in them right now that they're going to have to deal with.
And the Seahawks, of course, by virtue of winning the Super Bowl, have that 32nd overall pick. Is the expectation that they'll fill those needs through the draft? Will they maybe move around a lot on draft weekend? What do you expect?
I don't expect them moving down, possibly, especially from that 32nd spot. For the second year in a row, they've kind of put themselves in position to draft the way they want to draft, which is to take the best player possible. Last year, they didn't have the first-round pick because of the Harvin trade, and when they got to the second round, the last thing you expected them to do was draft a running back because they already had Marshawn Lynch, and then the year before they drafted Robert Turbin to be his backup. So what do? They go out and get Christian Michael, so they have three running backs. So it's not out of the question that they would draft anything. They could draft a wide receiver. They could go for help on either one of the lines. They could even go for a cornerback, which sounds kind of crazy, as much depth as they have back there. But that's kind of the way John Snyder likes to be able to do it, is to not have to reach to fill a need. And despite the number of players that have left here, they don't really have what you would call a glaring need like they did when they came in that first year and they had to go for Russell Okung in the first round to fill the left tackle spot that would be been a black hole since Walter Jones had retired.
Last question, Claire. The Eagles signed a former Seahawk in free agency. Tell us what we will get in safety special teams demon Chris Maragos.
Just pretty much what you just said. Number one, a great guy, and a guy who doesn't just play special teams because he hasn't been a starter here, but he realizes that's the way he's going to make his mark on this team. And it was funny, when he first got here, he was telling me when he was in San Francisco, he was playing behind a Pro Bowl safety, Deshaun Goldston. He gets here, he's playing behind Earl Thomas, so he realizes the snaps are going to be limited. So the way he can make his mark in a game and on the team is on special teams, and he's a really smart, really heady player. And if they put him in on defense, he's going to not only know his position and what he's supposed to be doing, but what every other guy on the unit's going to be doing. And I think the first time they run down the field on special teams in the preseason, you'll see what he brings there. But it's funny to say that a backup safety would be a big loss, but he was a big part of the special team success they've had here. And with everything this defense has done and the Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch offense, it often goes overlooked that the Seahawks have been ranked among the top five in special teams the last couple of years, and Chris Maragos's play on those special teams units was a big part of that.
Claire Farnsworth covers the Seahawks for Seahawks.com. We will see him and the Super Bowl champs this fall in Lincoln Financial Field. Thanks for joining us, Claire.
Okay, thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you very much, Bo and Claire. Good job there. The Seattle Seahawks looking to repeat, and we'll see them here in Philadelphia December 7th. Well, that game obviously could be flexed out to a primetime game. Who knows? As the NFL has really taken control of this schedule from week 5 on. And who knows how many times the Eagles will be on national TV. The way this team plays football, the national interest it generates, the excitement off the charts in year number 2 of Chip Kelly. Let's go to the telephones now. Talk to Zompy, Zampola, Zomparuski. How are you, buddy?
How about those birds, baby?
How are you, pal?
Listen, man, I'm pumped up. It's been a long time, Dave. How's everything going?
Everything's great. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, man.
What do you think about the schedule?
Very excited. I think it's well-balanced. Usually I'd be like, oh, it's brutal. I actually like it. I think it's well-balanced. I don't think there's, not too much of a tough stretch. I mean, a lot of people think, like, the last couple of games is tough. But you know what? I'd rather have the division games, the last three, 4 out of the 5 last games, I think, is division games.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If we're down, let's say, maybe 2 games, 1 game, that's how we could come back into the division. You know what I'm saying? Gain a little more ground at the end if we need to.
I really think, and I wrote about this yesterday. Look, I think, obviously, you need to win within the division. That's how you win the East. But really, to take the next step, the Eagles need to go on the road against a really hard road schedule. When you are talking about the Colts and the Niners – and the Packers and the Cardinals. That's four outstanding teams. Let's see how the Eagles battle toe-to-toe against those teams.
Well, we're going to see how good we are, right? In order to be great, you have to beat the great. And I actually like the fact that we're on a bye week before Arizona, because Arizona is always a thorn on our side, and in my opinion, especially over there. So in my opinion, I think that having that week off to prepare and the 10 days to prepare for Seattle, I think is huge for us, man. But I actually like the schedule, and I can't wait for draft time, man.
What do you want in the draft, Zombie?
I'm a trust and Chip guy. There's no doubt about it. Trust in Howie, so best player available. But if you ask me, I mean, I think he's going to go receiver, but I think we should go defense. Maybe, what's his name over there? What's his name over there? Mosley, C.J. Mosley. I like inside linebacker. Maybe go safety, but who knows? But let's just get a player that's going to come in here first day and just make an impact.
Great. Zompy, what's his name over there?
What's his name over there?
What's that?
Let's give Eagle shit.
Hey, man, I know we'll hear from you all week. We've got coverage next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thanks for calling. And then draft week, we are live all week long, and we'll be here every step of the way when the draft begins on May 8th. I know that the Zompy will be tuning in. Thanks, Zompy.
No doubt. Thanks a lot.
You got it, brother. 215-339-6709. Looking for your reaction to this 2014 regular season schedule. Hey, you play them as they go, and we know that generally, the way it looks now is not the way it looks when the games come around. You've got injuries, you've got inconsistency, performances that we're not seeing. But all in all, it is going to be fun to end the season with Dallas, Seattle, Dallas, Washington, and New York. Not a bad schedule at all. Let's bring Thomas on board, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Thomas.
What's going on, Dave?
How you doing, sir?
Man. Good to be talking Eagles football.
Indeed.
Man. It's always good when we can talk about him. I like him from Zomp, too.
Yeah, you know, hey, let me ask you this, Thomas. The NFL moves the schedule back 2 weeks, and I find myself with a little bit of a void. You know, it's been a little bit of a news drought these last couple of weeks. I kind of think I want the draft earlier.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt anything. I mean, like you say, they say baseball is the national pastime, but we know it's football, so we need more football early and often as possible.
That's right. They said national. They said baseball was the national pastime 40 years ago. Nobody's saying that now.
No, I agree.
So what's on your mind, sir? What do you think of the schedule?
I love it. I love the little stretch in November, being that I'm in Texas. I get to go see them play in Houston and then lay the smack down on them Cowgirls on Thanksgiving. That's my daughter's birthday, so I'm crunked for that. But I agree with what you were saying earlier, that it's going to take that tough road schedule to get us over that next hump.
Yeah.
We overachieved a bit last year, play tie level, but to get to that next level, it's going to take that. So I'm eager to see what we do. I believe that we're up to it, and I believe we can take that next step, and the schedule helps us to get to that point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm very happy for your perspective. Thanks for the phone call, Thomas, that we kind of forget here, and we don't forget, but because we hear from you all the time, all of these Eagles fans around the country, indeed around the world, who look at the schedule and say, when will my Eagles come to me? And so for you to have the Eagles in Texas against Houston on November 2nd and then later in the month on Thanksgiving Day against the Cowboys, we hope to see thousands and thousands of midnight green jerseys in the stands when the Eagles go to Texas for two games in November. So we will see you there, Thomas. Thank you very much for the phone call, 215-339-6709. We'll take some phone calls a little bit later in the show. When we return, we want to talk about the draft. We want to bring in Tony Pauline once again, our draftinsider.net expert. We've been talking all week to him. Now it's time to get a name. You know, I don't want to hear about the risers and the fallers. I don't want to hear about the long shots. I want to hear some names. And we're going to get that from Tony on the other side when we return to Eagles Live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Hey, tomorrow is the deadline, so do it now, people. Show us that you're the ultimate Eagles fan and you register to win the chance to announce the Eagles' fourth round draft pick on Saturday, May 10th at Radio City Music Hall. Hey, remember last year the Eagles traded up in the fourth round? All of a sudden they're sitting there and all eyes on that draft pick, and it was Matt Barkley. So what a thrill to announce that pick in front of an entire nation of fans watching. Enter to win our Deaton Watson Ultimate Fan Contest, hashtag Deets Draft. Do it right now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Well, we've talked to him all week long. We will continue to do so right up to and through the NFL Draft, May 8th through the 10th here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We bring in Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. And Tony, it is time to give us some names, or the name. If the Eagles stay at number 22, who do they take on May 8th?
Well, let's look at the receiver position first, because they've got to replace what they lost with DeSean Jackson there. So I think my number one pick for the Eagles would be Brandon Cooks of Oregon State. He's a lot like DeSean Jackson, a little bit small, but he's explosive. He's a game breaker. He can score from any point in the field whenever the ball's in his hands. He's also versatile. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up in the flanks. You can use him as a return specialist. You can run reverses with him. He's definitely a Chip Kelly type of player. This Brandon Cooks is the type of player that Chip Kelly would have on his roster at the University of Oregon. He's the type of game breaker. He's the type of guy that you can put in motion, line him up all over the field. I like Brandon Cooks for the Philadelphia Eagles. The other receiver to remember is Marquise Lee of USC, a guy who I think is a bit underrated at this point in time. Highly rated coming into the season, had a knee injury, struggled throughout the year. He's not the game breaker of Brandon Cooks, but he's a reliable pass catcher who does a great job running after the catch, creating yardage, finding ways to be productive. If they want to go receiver in round two, name to remember is Paul Richardson. He has those of Colorado. He has those Brandon Cooks types of game-breaking ability. Not as polished as Brandon Cooks. Doesn't have the return skills, but again, a guy that can stretch the field vertically and have the opposing defenses playing back on their heels.
All right, so you believe wide receiver is round one. Now in round two, do the Eagles go defense here? Is the defensive depth enough in the secondary, perhaps at safety, at linebacker, interior defensive line? Is there somebody in those mid-50s areas, whether the Eagles move up and down from 54, somewhere that somebody they could really get and expect an immediate contribution?
Jimmy Ward, the safety from Northern Illinois, is the guy who I think that they could look to in round two. A productive college player throughout his career, has been lined up at both cornerback and safety. You know, he doesn't have the same athletic game type of highlight films that the top two safeties, Calvin Pryor or Ha-Ha Dixon, has. But what Jimmy Ward is he's an intelligent player. He plays smart football. He stays away from mental mistakes. He can cover the entire center field area. You can play him over the slot receiver. He's not going to have the breakdown. You know, he's not a special all-pro type of talent, but you know what you're getting with Jimmy Ward. You're getting a guy from Jimmy Ward in Northern Illinois who can start early on in his NFL career. And he's not really going to have lapses. He's not going to blow assignments. So I think that would be a good pick for the Eagles in round two to solidify or help improve that defensive secondary.
Tony, we talked about this earlier in the week. The Eagles only have 6 draft picks right now. Do you think it's going to be difficult to add to that? I mean, it would seem this is a team that historically has gone into the draft with 8, 9, 10, even more draft picks. They want to accumulate picks. But if every team wants to add to their draft pick collection, will it be difficult for the Eagles to do so?
Well, I don't know that every team wants to add to their draft pick collection. I would look at two positions, the quarterback position and the offensive tackle position. If one of those quarterbacks, whether it be Bridgewater or, gosh forbid, Bortles, I don't think that's going to happen. If one of those quarterbacks start to fall, or even one of the offensive tackles start to fall, like a Taylor Lewan, maybe Zach Martin's available, I could see one of those teams, either late in round one or the early part of round two, who want to grab a starter, basically making an offer to the Eagles to move up to get one of them. So you have to see which players start to slide down. If a highly rated player starts to slide, I think there'll be opportunity for the Eagles to move down.
Tony, do you feel you have a handle at all on, it's only been 1 year, on what Chip's patterns might be or what he's looking for in players? We know that Howie Roseman historically has been someone who likes to wheel and deal. Last year, Chip kept it pretty straight in the early going. I think surprised a lot of people with the Zach Ertz pick, but obviously that pick turned out to be a very productive one. Do you feel you have a sense of what he's looking for?
Good athletes that are fast. I mean, basically what he did at Oregon. You got fast athletes, basically, that the opponents cannot cover. You saw it with their third-round pick, the defensive lineman out from LSU. You know, he wasn't the stoutest guy. He wasn't the strongest guy in the world, but he was a good athlete, and he was so fast that opposing blockers had a difficult time blocking him. So I think he's going to stay on that mantra where, you know, you look at their first-round pick. You talked about Zach Ertz. I mean, these guys are good athletes at their position. May need a little bit of polish on their games, but down the road, if they can become really good football players and meld that with their athleticism, you're going to have some dynamite. You're going to have a dynamite roster.
You mentioned Benny Logan, the third round pick from LSU last year. Eagles seeing him as a in this 3-4 as a nose tackle, not the prototype size, not that space eater, but somebody who's developing very nicely. Is there somebody else? As the Eagles traded away Isaac Sopawaga last year, Clifton Gathers signs with the Redskins in free agency. A big interior defensive lineman that you can get in rounds 3, 4, 5 who can come in and give you some quality snaps and stop the run, something that hurt the Eagles badly in the playoff loss to New Orleans.
Two names to remember. First one from Arkansas State, Ryan Carruthers, 6'1½", 337 pounds. He's a guy who occupies the gaps. He occupies blockers, allows his teammates to get to the ball to make plays, but he's also a decent athlete. He's not just a stuck-in-the-mud, stuck-in-the-cement type of guy. He can change direction, get down the line of scrimmage, and pursue the play. Another name to remember who's going to be a late-round pick, guy who really not too far from where the Eagles play, Zach Kerr out of Delaware, 6'1", 316 pounds. Another guy who's very strong at the point of attack. He takes on blocks, he holds his ground, but also very athletic. He's able to get behind the line of scrimmage, change direction, and chase outside the box in pursuit of the play. So I think there will be the possibility to get that sort of player in the last day of the draft.
Tony Pauline thinks the Eagles are going wide receiver in round one. We will check in with you, of course, as we get closer to the draft, Tony. And I think that's what most of these mock drafts are saying, wide receiver for the Eagles. Tony Pauline, great work this week. Thank you so much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And that's Tony Pauline all week. He's been with us, and he'll be with us throughout our coverage leading up and through this 2014 NFL draft. Follow Tony on the web, NFL Insider. Loves the draft. He's been covering it for years and years. DraftInsider.net. We thank him for his time and his expertise on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
C-3.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
We're talking quarterbacks here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Inside the studio, I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by G.J. Kinney, who's here with the team as they go through these off-season workouts. And, G.J., welcome, and how's your off-season been?
Oh, it's been awesome. You know, got to do a little running, a little lifting, getting ready for this off-season workout.
Yeah, what kind of objectives do you have when you leave a season? Good experience for you last year. What do you take away from that going into your first full off-season here?
You know, I learned so much last year, I think just resting for a little bit and then getting right back into getting stronger, faster, working on footwork, quarterback technique, stuff like that.
What are the good things, the challenges, the things you love about this offense?
You know, for a guy like me, being able to run around, you have so many weapons on the outside, great running backs, great O-line, just everything in this offense, it just runs so smoothly, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
It's kind of amazing. I mean, the aura of Chip Kelly is such that we in the media and the fans, everybody tries to figure out what the scheme is all about. And yet when you talk to him and talk to you guys, it seems like it's, you know, relatively, you know, simple concepts. Is it? Or is it? I mean, the verbiage is fairly simple. The tempo obviously is high. Is it, compared to other offenses in which you've played, a simple offense?
You know, the concepts are great and everything we do is great. But I think, as Coach Kelly said before, it's about the culture that we have here, the guys, the buy-in, how hard we work in the off-season. You know, we had a running kind of exercises yesterday, and everyone was right on like we never left. And I think that's a tribute to those guys and the guys and the staff.
G.J., look, let's be honest here. The Eagles have three quarterbacks who they feel have a lot of experience. They obviously have you here for a reason. They like you a lot. They want to see more from you. How do you look at the competition moving forward?
You know, I'm really excited. Last year kind of getting my feet wet and now just going out there hitting it full speed, getting ready for OTAs. I'm just really excited to get out there and show people my athleticism. I got limited reps last year in preseason, but I think when people see and the coaches see my athleticism, you know, up close, it'll be a game changer.
Are you eager for that moment to come post draft when you're on the practice field and the coaches can see how much you've improved?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited. You know, you work all off season, even all last year for me on the practice squad to get to this point, and I'm just excited.
I'm not sure fans understand how do you improve during the course of a season when you're getting limited reps, limited exposure, practice squad, a lot of times emulating the opposing quarterback. Mm-hmm. How do you improve your game?
Just the speed of the game and just being around the guys, seeing it so much. You know, being on the sidelines, hearing the calls. Nick did a great job last year just seeing how he worked and just being around it. You know, I think that's a big thing for a young guy like myself.
How about you? I know you and Nick are close. Yeah. So proud to see him have the success he had last year.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it was awesome for me because I got to go to the Pro Bowl with him.
Cool.
It was awesome. And he's a great guy on and off the field, and I was very happy for him last year.
Tell me about the Pro Bowl experience.
That was, hopefully next time I go, it'll be because, you know.
Because you're going.
Yeah,
because
I'm going.
Right.
But just being around all those great guys, seeing how they work, even at the Pro Bowl, you know, the way they carry themselves. And it was great for a guy like myself.
It is such a thin line, isn't it, from making it in the NFL to playing in the NFL to being a Pro Bowl player?
There's no doubt about it. You know, just look at Nick last year. You know, Vic kind of went in the job, and then Nick, you know, Vic get hurt. Nick steps in, and now he's a Pro Bowl player, and that's a credit to him and how he works.
Yeah, what I find remarkable, G.J., and the truth is that everybody's got great talent. A lot of it comes between the ears, and even in your case, I mean, last year you go through the preseason, you're willing to do anything the coaches ask, then you get some time, and you played well in the preseason, and then you don't make the team, and then you got to kind of stay ready physically and mentally. That's got to be challenging for somebody who's been a great player throughout your career.
Oh, it's very challenging, but, you know, nothing in my life has ever been easy. And I enjoy the challenge. You know, honestly, you know, keeps me on my toes. And I think this year will be a little different.
Good. Well, hey, listen, we wish you the best of luck. Eagles in their off-season conditioning program here. Did you test out well? Everybody's happy with where you're at physically?
Oh yeah, good, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, you don't slack off.
No, sir.
You don't go to Dallas and eat donuts.
No. Yeah. A couple donuts. But not too many.
TJ, thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
Good seeing you in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
We are back in the NovaCare Complex, and we're back in the Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro with you. Taking some suggestions and some thoughts on the schedule that came out on Wednesday night, 215-339-6709. What do you think? How many wins do you see in this schedule? Well, we've got a lot going on here with the draft, with everything that's happening. It's just so exciting. Right now, we take a look at the first half of the schedule. That bye week comes at pretty good time after 6 games. 10 games before the bye, including the preseason. 10 games after the bye. Eagles will be well-rested going to Arizona and then Texas. Tough back-to-back road games for the Eagles. Hey, if you want to get into the mood of the draft week, there's no better way to do it than to tune into PhiladelphiaEagles.com on Monday, May 5th, 7:30 p.m. It's the final audition show for the Eagles cheerleaders for 2014. 60 beautiful finalists compete for 38 spots, and we'll have it live for you right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, on our live mobile app as well. So check it out. Cheerleaders, part of the team. They've been working hard to make this squad, and it all comes down to Monday, May 5th at 7:30. Tune in right here. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us today. We're back on Tuesday. The Eagles are working in the community on Monday, the annual Eagles Youth Partnership Playground Build. Everyone from the organization takes part in that. We'll have complete coverage for you on Monday of that event, and we'll be back with Eagles Live on Tuesday at noon. We thank you so much for joining us today. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.